Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello, this is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat and the human hand grenade Danny Only, and this is Georgia Wrestling Now. Danny, I know you may not be able to stay with us the whole time, but you had a big weekend, so if you want to go ahead and tell your story about what happened at Anarchy and anywhere else, I guess this is a good time.
You know what? I was going to say fuck it and not do the whole thing, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay on here for the whole time. Overage charges be damned. Verizon can kiss my ass. I'll pay the fucking cost to stay on the phone because we got two awesome guests tonight, Larry Dallas, Chris Dickinson, two guys that are extremely awesome, and there's no way that I'm hanging up the phone. I'm actually on 285 heading home right now. There's no way I'm getting off the phone. But,
All right, yeah, well, I appreciate your dedication, sir.
Hey, defiant, as always.
If I do it, who's going to do it, you know?
Exactly.
Fuck Verizon, I'll pay their late fees.
That's right.
Overage charges.
I'll kick Verizon in the dick. Wait, you guys screwed me over, man. I was good until we went to 7 o'clock, man. Now we went to 7 o'clock and my...
Hey, blame
it.
Blame it on Vince McMahon.
Blame it on Vince.
Vince, can suck it. But, but yeah, man, this... I'm still, like, I mean, forgive me if I'm not exactly who I used to be and if I'm not, you know, on the same page as I used to be. Shit's still ain't right, man. I'm still in a big fog. The Urban Assault Squad, I can't say anything else other than they beat the shit out of us, man. I mean, that's all there is to it. They, you know, we didn't quit. We didn't give up, but they took it to us. They beat the hell out of us. I found out the night of the show afterwards that I have a gigantic gash on the top of my head that probably required staples or stitches, but Danny Only is too stupid to do anything right. So I fixed it by going to the pool and hanging out in the pool and drinking beer all day. I'm pretty sure I was concussed. From what I looked at on Wikipedia, concussion symptoms are very similar to being drunk, and it's hard to distinguish with me whether I was drunk or concussed. I got my dome split open. I got my ass kicked. There's nothing else I can say. Urban Assault Squad, they beat the shit out of us, man.
I saw the footage online. Unfortunately, was not there, but I don't know if it even matters in a situation like this, but who won the match?
Urban Assault Squad won.
They
won. They hung Strychnine over the rope, and they tied the noose off, and then they... after they picked me up from the deathly carnage that was six extremely broken and bent steel chairs, they picked my dead carcass up and they tossed me over the rope. And then I guess, you know, everything comes full circle because the last time that happened, we tied Nemesis to the post and we obliterated Shadow, and they did the same thing to me. They tied Strychnine to the post, and they tied Dan to the other post, and they had a noose hanging around my neck and had me hanging over the top rope, and Shadow gave me a shot to the back, and I turned around and looked him in his face and told him he was a piece of shit, and he gave me another one to the head, and I told him he's got to do harder than that, and he did it. And he cracked the chair over my skull, and... The rest is kind of a blur.
The Urban Assault Squad was not without their own bruises, though. Just a devastating tower of doom into those six chairs was massive.
Oh, I mean, I'll say this till the end, you know. I mean, it's the measure of a man to me isn't whether you win or lose. It's how you fight. We took it to them. I mean, I remember, you know, bits and pieces of the match, but I remember one, and that, you know, there's a stigma that surrounds Nemesis, to where people tell you, don't worry, he'll get you in the ring. He's going to split your chest open with chops. And I don't know what did it, but Nemesis backed me up to the ropes, and he chopped me once. And I looked at him, and I told him that wasn't going to do it. And he chopped me again, and I told him that wasn't going to do it. And he chopped me about three or four more times, and I punched him in the face. And I called him a pussy, and I said, no, that's not going to do it. And I beat the hell out of him. So we fought. We fought as hard as we could. And I, you know, can't win all of them. You know, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers have six rings, but there's been 30-something Super Bowls. They haven't won all of them. So you can't win them all. And unfortunately, Saturday night, the Urban Assault Squad, they ended up on top.
If you were looking for style points, you did get the style victory by hitting Nemesis with a chair from outside the ring and having the chair land on all fours and sit up perfectly. Like you were going to come in and take a break, man.
That's really funny. That's another flash that I remember is I threw the chair and it bounced off his head and it landed perfectly. I almost wanted to go in and sit down on the chair and drink a beer because I was like, this is a perfect place, you know. Yeah, that was crazy, dude. It was that's one of the things in wrestling when you look and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. But then he picked me up and he drove me through all six of them. So that's what happened. You know.
Well, I'm glad you're able
Jerry
to.
Jerry Palmer
at least
played a giant role. Jerry Palmer's axe handle. If not for Jerry Palmer's axe handle, this probably has a different ending.
Hey, you know, we say what you want, and we'll say the same thing. Jerry's a scumbag. He's a piece of trash. But he knows what he needs to do to win. And I can't. The hate junkies will never look at somebody taking a shortcut and say that they're, you know, worthless for doing it. We've taken more shortcuts than anybody we know. And it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the night, and when people write down the record books, it doesn't matter what the details were on who won. It just matters who won. And Jerry made sure that his boys won. And I'm done. Anarchy is now part of my past. And I really hope that Judas and Strychnine and Brody and Slim and Azrael, I really hope that they can do the right thing. We all got our differences, you know. We're not buddies, you know. Me and Slim J, we don't go to the bar and drink beer after the show, but we had a common interest, and that was keeping that building going. And it seems that Jerry Palmer is jaded and bitter, and he wants to close the doors for some reason, because I don't know, maybe he feels that Franklin's not doing the good job. So I hope that they can stand up and keep it open, because I'll be back. I mean, I'm done for now. I mean, if you saw the match, Matt, you were there. You saw it. The fucking video's on YouTube. If you saw the match, nobody can give me shit. I'm done. You know, it wiped me out, and I got to take a step back and I got to reevaluate some things, and I hope that they can keep home open long enough, because I've always said that anarchy is home, you know, and we talk, you know, a lot of wrestlers talk about other companies in Georgia, and they talk about who is what and who does what, and you know, Anarchy is the cornerstone of Georgia wrestling. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done in wrestling. I don't care where you're at right now. And if you have a problem with it, you can give me a call tomorrow, and I'll meet you, and you can tell me exactly what your issue is. NWA Anarchy is the cornerstone of wrestling in the Southeast, fucking period. And I hope that they can keep it going long enough for me to come back. I don't know when that'll be, though.
Well, in more positive Hate Junkies news, on Friday night at Alternative Pro Wrestling,
kick Anthony Henry's ass. Anthony Henry, Shirt Guy beat the shit out you, and he made you tap. He made you tap. Did you hear that? You tapped. Because Trick 9 is fucking invincible. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I just felt good.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's my brother's arms. So, yeah,
you,
he made you tap.
You said it a little better than I was going to say it. So, yes, at the birthplace of the Hate Junkies, no less. And from what I understand, a very different match from their match a year ago, where it was a very brutal, bloody match inside a cage, I believe, and this one was a more technical match. And like you said, Strict 9 made him tap out. What was his finishing maneuver?
He was an Anaconda Vice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Anaconda Vice. And here's a funny story. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I challenge anybody who listens to this show to walk up to Strict 9 and attempt to pull his bitch card, because he will fuck you up legitimately. I love Strict 9 like a brother, and one day we're going to fight. It's going to happen. Brothers fight. When I fight him, I'm going to dread it, because the dude does not fuck around. And I saw him legitimately, no wrestling, no angle, no storylines, no work. I saw him grab a dude by his arm, throw him on the back of his head, lock him in an Anaconda Vice, and make the dude scream in pain until security came and got him and left him and escorted him from the building. So it just seemed fitting that Strict 9 went back to what he knows works, outside of kicking Anthony in the head. And he won the match. And I wasn't there to see it. I was in PCW watching Fred Yehi make Davey Richards tap out, which is pretty awesome. But I read the review, and the review was exactly what I thought it was. Last year they had the same match, and it was brutal. It was a cage match. It was bloody. It was dangerous. It was disgusting. This match was a wrestling match, and Strict 9 wrestled. He wrestled his ass off. And that actually brings me to another little point, if I could touch on.
Well, before you do that, I think your concussion was speaking there. Davey Richards and Fred Yehi was last Friday. This past Friday was Fred Yehi and Shane Marks.
Oh, fuck.
But,
yeah, see, it's all blur, man.
But anyway.
It's all blur.
You had a point to make, and then we should probably get ready for our first
absolutely.
Guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and please, let me do the intro for Larry Dallas, because he deserves a good intro, and I got one for him.
After what you went through Saturday night, this is your show tonight, Danny.
is Larry on the line right now? Is he waiting?
No, we don't have him yet, but I know he was involved in Dragon Gate shows Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
I did a little research on him. He manages Caleb Conley, who did some time. I don't know if he's still wrestling for Rampage, but I know he spent a lot of time there. But anyway,
yeah,
you had a point
to make. He's the manager of the scene. Yeah, I do. Let me know. As soon as Larry calls in, let me know so I can shut the fuck up and introduce him the way he deserves it. Georgia Wrestling Insider, or Georgia Insider Wrestling, or whoever it is, made up a list of the top 15, in their opinion, wrestlers in the state of Georgia. Strict 9 and myself were put at number 9 together. And I posted under my real name, And if you don't know it, I don't really care. I'm not going to tell you. But I posted under my real name that I speak for Strychnine, and I want us taken off this list. The reason is, to me, the list was bullshit. It's not to take away from anybody that was on the list. Jacob Ashworth is a very good wrestler. He's come a long way in the past 2 years, 3 years that he's been working. But I love you, Jacob, but you are not on the top 15 in the state of Georgia. Drew Adler, you are not on the top 15 in the state of Georgia. I'm sorry. You're good. You got a bright future ahead of you, but you were not on that list. So when I saw that Fred Yehi was number 15, I think, and Shane Marks was number 14, and then Strychnine and myself were number 9, in my opinion, that list is fucking bullshit. Because I will
stand
here.
Oh, you guys are number 10. I'm looking at it now.
No,
you're
we were actually
10.
Number 9. If you read the comment, he said, my bad, I'm at number 9.
Oh,
so
I
we're
see.
Actually
yeah.
number 9.
Yeah.
Right. So, that being said, I have no problem admitting that there are at least 15 other people in the state of Georgia who are better wrestlers than me and Strychnine. One of them is Shane Marks. I hate him. He's a piece of shit. He's a piece of trash. He's a turncoat. He's garbage. But Shane Marks is a better wrestler than Danny Olley. I have no problem admitting that. And the fact that Shane Marks was number 14 on that list because he wrestles at PCW only is a crock. The fact that me and Strychnine are number 9 on that list, when I've been to Resistance Pro, I've been to Beyond Wrestling, I've been to AIW, Strychnine has dominated APW for the past year. The Hate Junkies are the fucking tag team in Anarchy, period. And the fact that we're number 9 on that list, to me, is a spit in the face. But again, it's not about our ranking, because I can tell you 15 people right now, Jimmy Rave, Kyle Matthews, Crew Jones, Sean Banks, fucking Shane Marks, Fred Yehi, Chip Day, Corey Hollis, all of these guys are better wrestlers than me, and I have no problem admitting that. So I asked respectfully to be taken off of that list, because to me, it was not an honest assessment of talent in the state. It was not an honest assessment of talent in the Southeast. Because Sean Tempers, another one, you know, Sean Tempers wrestles at Empire Pro Wrestling in Rossville, Georgia. He is the NWA North American champion. He is the NWA Anarchy heavyweight champion. Yeah, he only wrestles at Anarchy and Empire, and the rest of the stuff is all over the freaking country. But because he's not at all these other shows down south, he's not on the list. At least he's not yet. I swear to God, he better be. But he's not yet? No. Bullshit. So I asked them to remove us from the list because to me it was not an honest assessment of talent in the state. It was a self-gratification post. So that's my opinion there. And if
well,
you,
for people
don't
who
like
don't
it,
know what Danny's talking about, Georgia Insider Pro Wrestling is the it's a Facebook profile, and there's some mystery as to who's behind it, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like many people take it very seriously. But one point that was brought up in what you just said was, and I noticed it in the comments to your back and forth of your ranking, is the inclusion of people south of Macon. And that's something I've thought about before. We don't talk about a lot of promotions that happen below where Rampage takes place, basically. We have talked about, I forget the name of it right now, but wherever the exotic ones were tag team champions, somewhere down
AWN?
South Georgia. Yes.
Okay.
And but
that's the thing. AWN, they had a lot of flack. They, you know, a lot of negative press, but they've been doing their thing. You know, a lot of people shit on PCW a couple years ago. A lot of people shit on APW a couple years ago. But they've continuously run and tried to generate and tried to build better things. I have never been to an AWN show. I have no idea who the AWN champion is. I have no idea. But they are a company that has kept running and that has kept things going. So But then again, I mean, if you're the heavyweight champion of AWN, are you going to tell me that you're a better wrestler than Michael Judas? No, you're not. I don't care who you are. Are you a better wrestler than Slim J? No, you're not. Are you a better wrestler than Murder One? You know, I saw the last name I saw was Drew Adler, I think, at number 6. So you're telling me that, I don't know who will be on the list, but Murder One, Sean Tempers, Slim J, Kyle Matthews, Jimmy Rave, Crew Jones, Sean Banks, that's 7 people right now. So at least one of those guys isn't going to be above Drew Adler on that rankings, and that's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's bullshit. And tell me I'm wrong. If I am, somebody let me know.
I'd love to tell you, but he's just telling the truth. You can't fault a man for telling the truth. And that's how it's always been with that particular Facebook profile, Frank. And it was always, you know, whoever's doing it seems to be a part of that Southern scene, and that's where they always focus. And I can't blame anybody for putting your fellas over.
Whoever
hey,
it is,
Danny,
kudos. Yes.
Is 914 the area code that he'll be calling from?
I don't know. Go ahead and put them on, and I'll introduce them. And if it's not Larry, then somebody will get an awesome-ass introduction.
All right. Well, I believe we have. Go for it, Danny.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here you have the man who doesn't fuck with class. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit drunk. He doesn't fuck with swag because he fucks with class. The man that likes his women like he likes his alcohol, top shelf ass, the best manager in wrestling right now. Larry motherfucking Dallas.
What's up, guys? I was dialing the wrong number by like one digit, and it kept on telling me that my show hadn't started yet to call back in 10 minutes. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then I finally went back to Facebook and realized I was off by one digit. Sorry about my lateness.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, see, that's what happens when you don't have the broads dialing the phone for you, man. You got too much stuff to do. You don't need to dial your own phone.
There you go. Am I coming? I'm calling you from my Bluetooth, so I hope it's coming through clearly.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, beautiful. I was worried about that. I was making sure it was okay. So, how are you guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Just drove about 16 hours back to Chicago, and now I'm heading out to meet up with a lovely young lady at a bar in about an hour or so. So I'm heading down that way right now. I'm going to call you guys, talk to you guys for a little bit.
Right on. Real quick, for those who might not know, Larry Dallas is the manager of The Scene, who is arguably one of the hottest tag teams in wrestling today, Caleb Conley and Scott Reed. Larry Dallas is also, correct me if I misquote here, the first manager to be brought overseas on his own in a very, very, very long time. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. I think now from what I heard, Fred Blassie was over there for Ali and Inoki, and Bobby Heenan was over there with Nick Bockwinkel, I believe, for All Japan for the when he was defending the AWA title. But I was the first manager brought over, I think, just as a manager alone to manage Matt Blanky over there, which consisted of Akira Tozawa, BB Hulk, CyberKong, Mandai Yu, and KZ, and Naoki Tanizaki. I think there's another Tanizaki. Little weird thing there, but yeah, man, I just got back on Thursday night from a 3-month tour of Japan.
Right on. And for all you guys listening, especially all you little scrubs that like to play wrestler, go look up Larry Dallas. Go see who he is. Go see the fucking work he puts in as a manager, and then look at yourself as a wrestler and ask yourself if you still need to be in this fucking business, because chances are you need to take a walk.
I trained at a Japanese dojo for 3 months. I lived in a dojo. I slept on a bunk bed. I ate Japanese food, and I lived a Japanese lifestyle for 3 months just as a manager over there. Yeah, I did train in the ring with them. I got a little bit better in the ring at certain aspects of things, but I was strictly a manager. But I did train as a wrestler and worked out every day in the dojo. Right next to my bedroom I literally opened the door from my bedroom and there was a gym right next to me, so I couldn't get away from the gym if I wanted to.
There you go. So I got to ask you something. I'll tell you now. People will call me later and be like, "Hey, why were you sucking Larry's dick?" And I'll tell them to go fuck themselves. I don't really.
But I got to ask you, man, you got a good head on your shoulders, and you got a good team in the scene, because Caleb Konley and Scott Reed are obviously on something. But what would be your strategy if you had to put your boys in the ring with the Hate Junkies, Danny Only and Street Nine? And if you don't know about us, we're not pretty. We're not awesome. We're just brutal-ass kickers. And I know Caleb. I've partied with Caleb. I've drank with Caleb. I've ridden the roads with Caleb. So I know what he's about. So what would be your strategy if you had those two pretty boys going against two scum fucks like us?
My strategy would be have Scott Reed do most of the work and use his power, and then have Caleb kind of finesse his way around things over there. And then I would interfere ad nauseum would be my strategy in that kind of game.
Thanks, Scott Reed's a big ass dude, man. I can't even lie. That dude's huge.
Scott Reed, you can park a Volkswagen on Scott Reed's back. That's how big Scott Reed is.
Well, I mean, you might not know much about Strychnine. I mean, I know me and you, we've talked a little bit, you know, but Strychnine's indestructible. He can't beat him. He is literally. I'm trying to convince him to change his name to the Anvil because he's indestructible. He can't beat him.
That me doing that or
stop.
Is that you?
I don't know. That was some asshole.
Daniel's asshole. I'm thinking touching my phone. So I don't even know how the hell that happened.
So what's next on the plate, man? I know you just got back from Japan, and you said you're heading back in, what, 2 months?
I don't know if I'm heading back in 2 months. They had asked me to come right back as soon as August, what Zawa had asked me to do. I had slightly turned it down. I said I need to go home and kind of figure some things out for myself. Obviously, Japan was never something that I woke up one day and was like, I want to be that guy that goes to Japan. It just was... I mean, it wasn't in the cards, you know, like, my whole, you know, no one, even when I was working for Dragon Gate USA, everyone was like, hey, you know, it's great that you're working here, but they don't use managers in Japan, I'm like, hey, you're probably right, you know, I'll probably never go over there, but then it kind of motivated me to kind of get myself over there somehow, and then,
right.
You know, I did it, the last show, last Sunday was Kobe World, which is, their version of WrestleMania. I believe it was, 10,000 fans in attendance, you walk down the ramp, you look up the crowd, and I'm not trying to stroke my own cock here. You look up the crowd, all you see is shadows, and it kind of puts this mind state in your head of where should you go from here, and what's the next step for you? Because you're always trying to get better, always trying to do more. I think whatever you do in life, personally, you never want to be neutral. You always want to be going forward and doing something more, you know, to better yourself and do something better. So. I'm going to take the next month probably, you know, I've been gone all summer, probably going to take the month of August, you know, go to the beach a few times, hang out with my dog, hang out with some friends that I haven't seen in a while, and just kind of clear my head and just kind of figure out what the next step for me is. People always said options are a beautiful thing, and I guess in a way options are an awesome thing, but options are also, it leads to a lot of questions in your head and a lot of self-doubt because you want to make sure you pick the right choice for yourself, and I guess I'm very blessed to be in a position where I am, where I have options, but I got a lot to think about and a lot to digest. I literally got home. I got home Thursday night about 7 p.m., and I was gone Friday night at 10 p.m. to go out to Detroit for USA and then Chicago. I literally just got back about 2 hours ago from Chicago, and I'm going right back out. So I haven't even had, any time to sit down by myself and, stroke my own cock and go, what the hell's next for you, you know? So, I'm going to take the next week probably just sit around my house, clear out the DVR, drink a few beers, not diet, not work out, figure out what I want to do next.
That's awesome. You were talking about how, you know, you try to push yourself and you want to be the best you can. And for everybody who might be interested, I used to have a shirt that came out on barbershopwindow.com who actually made a Caleb Konley shirt. And my shirt was a big fucking hand grenade on the front, and it said, get better or get out. And that's just been my philosophy, you know, the whole time. If you're not doing what you can to get better at what you're doing, then just fucking go home. You know, I mean, you can't, just like you said, you can't sit and get stagnant. You can't wait around. You can't rest on your laurels and just think, okay, yeah, I did this once. And honestly, I would lose all respect for you if you were like, psh, whatever, I've been to Japan once. They'll bring me back when they want to, you know, but I know you're not going to be that dude. You're going to fucking go out and push and drive and get yourself back there on your merit. So that's why I was interested as to what you're going to do, you know, now. But honestly, I can't argue with that. That's pretty much sitting back at the house and drinking some beers is the best plan I can think of.
Yeah, you know, like, this was probably the first week of my life, and, you know, it was a weird position to be in to, you know, you had the Dragon Gate seminars on Friday and Saturday, where I guess, you know, a bunch of people came from, like, all over the country to, you know, train with the Dragon Gate guys and go through some drills and do some, like, short matches and you know, kind of get a chance to be on the main card, get a match, get a spot, and everyone was coming up to me afterwards asking me for advice on how to get over there, what to do over there, and I was kind of like, you know, holy shit, man, I'm like, I never ever pictured myself being the guy that's sitting around holding court. It was kind of a weird position for me. And you know, I just sat around. I looked at a lot of people, and I was trying to get the best advice I could to people. But it's like, you know, I almost didn't know what to say to people. It's just very strange. Everything happened so quickly, and to now come back and be a guy that people come to and go, well, when are you going back? Or you know, how do I get there? How do I get in that position? It's like. And I don't really know if I even know how I got there. You know, it all happened so quickly, and it was just one of those things. Like, they approached me in January about going over there, and the vice president came up to me and was like, "When do you want to go to? When can you come to Japan?" And I was basically like, "Well, when do you want me?" And you know, then I talked to Tozawa, and they were talking about me coming over like maybe March or April. And I asked him, I was like, "Well, how long do you want me to come over there for?" And he said, "Well, how long can you come over there for?" And I was like, "How long do you want me? Let me know how long you want me for." And he said, "Well, you know, without a work visa, the longest I can go is 3 months." And I said to myself, "I go, well, you know what? My life's gonna be pretty fucked whether I'm there for a month, 6 weeks, or 3 months. I'm gonna come back and have a whole lot of shit to deal with. So I might as well get the most out of it and go for 12 weeks, which makes it probably certifiable, because 12 weeks is a very, very, very long time." Be in another country, and I know you know because I know you've been in the Army, but you know, it's a long time to be away from everybody and everything, and I mean, I'm happy I did it, but there's people that have gone over there before, that have done four weeks or done 6 weeks, that go to me, that I really just go, I can't believe you did 12 weeks, and you know, 12 weeks is a long time to be over there, and it's a lot on your mind, and it changes you as a person. Like, I came back a different person, and I'm kind of just trying to adjust now to being back in America and being back to, quote-unquote, a normal life. You know, I've done wrestling now for the past 3 months, almost every single day. You know, the week before I left for Japan, I was in Toronto for a show. So I went to Canada, came back, had a week home, went to Japan for 3 months, came back, went to Detroit, went to Chicago. So, and over in Japan, it was wrestling 24/7. So right now, like, my mind is just kind of like, I don't want to watch wrestling for a little bit. I don't want to talk about wrestling for a little bit. I just want to kind of sit back and just kind of digest what I just did and what just happened. And, again, figure out what the next best step is. And, you know, for anybody out there, you know, if you're not working hard towards something or, you know, like, you got to look at what's around you. Because I lost 30 pounds over there, and they were happy with it, but they were still telling me that they wanted more. You know, and that's what people got to realize that wrestling's about. It's about always getting more out of yourself, like never being satisfied. You know, Pac, who is one of the best wrestlers on the planet, one of the guy looks like a machine. You know, he's a machine in the ring. His body looks like it's sculpted out of clay, and he's never happy with how he looks. And that's the mindset that I picked up in professional wrestling. That guys that sit there and are never happy are the ones that become the best, because they're not sitting there going, "I'm the greatest at what I do." You know, I thought I was pretty good before I went over there. I was pretty confident in my skills. And I left there, and I came back over, and I was like, "Wow, I didn't know shit about shit." And that's how I felt when I got back. I was like, "Wow, I knew nothing," and I still know I have a lot to learn. And I guess that's just like for anybody in wrestling that's like going to ask you, you know, that's going to happen. Like, whenever you do something that someone else thinks is more than they've done, they're going to ask you, "Well, how do I do this? Or what do I do?" And the trick is to just never be satisfied with anything you do, because once you're satisfied, it's like, satisfaction is the death of desire, and you never want your desire to die. Otherwise, like, this business is too hard to not have desire for more. You know, it just doesn't make sense to be complacent and go out and do what you do and sacrifice what you sacrifice to ultimately do this at any level, let alone a high level.
Well, Larry, I know you were back in the country this weekend for the Dragon Gate shows, and I know the scene had big matches at both of those. How did everything go there? How'd you guys do?
Uh, So hold on here. I have to get my time schedule in my head here. So Saturday night we fought Super Smash Brothers. We unfortunately came out on the losing end of that through some bullshit. Then yesterday, which I can't believe it's yesterday because it feels like this has been like, I think from the moment I got back to today, it felt like just one really long day, especially with the little sleep I've gotten. Yesterday we fought Zero Gravity, who I believe are a local tag team out there, and we came out victorious on that. And then everyone was out there kind of saying how they wanted the next tag title shot. You know, Super Smash Brothers won the second match, and they thought they deserved a tag title shot. And then Chuck Taylor came out and said the Gentlemen's Club deserved a tag title shot. And Duff wanted a tag title shot. And we came out there and kind of made our little waves. You know, we're the best tag team in Dragon Gate. Now we deserve our tag title shot. And, you know, Aaron Cannon, basically, before I got a chance to bless the world with my vocal talent, stole the microphone from me and decided to try to put some beer on me. And, you know, Aaron Cannon and Pinky Sanchez, if you're not familiar with who they are, they're not even the kind of guys I want to share a shower room with. They're a bunch of dirtbags and a bunch of lowlifes, and they kind of tried to attack us. But I made sure that Dragon Gate USA offices knew that we were the scene and we don't lower ourselves to a class like the dirty, ugly fuck. And, you know, I guess we're going to have to see where it goes from there. You know, we feel like we're in line for a tag title shot. We feel like we're the best young tag team in professional wrestling. They've been together for less than a year. They've made a splash. They've been, you know, traveling all over the country. And the chemistry between the two of them, the three of us, is real good. And I'm very happy with the way things have come together with everybody, because in wrestling, with so many egos, individual egos, for people to come together as a true team is very, very hard. I think Caleb and Scott are one of those two real tag teams out there in professional wrestling.
Hey, Larry, I got a quick thing for you. First of all, I want to give you sick props for dropping the fucking title of one of Hatebreed's albums, fucking Satisfaction is a Death of Desire, because that is absolutely true. But the other thing is, outside of all the guys you're around, outside of the scene, outside of Tozawa, outside of anybody that you have your reign around in any way, who is somebody on the indies who people might be listening to right now? Who's somebody on the indies that people really need to watch out for?
Now, are we talking like outside of Dragon Gate USA, like who I think deserves like the next shot?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, anybody, because I mean, the way I see it, obviously WWE, TNA, Impact are the tops. And then you got, I mean, right below that, you know, you got Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, and stuff like that. But who's somebody, and then, for example, the one I would throw out there is one that maybe not a lot of people have heard of, but they definitely will in the next year or two, is ACH out of St. Louis. So who's somebody that you can think of who's just right there on the cusp, who's getting ready to break out, that people need to watch out for?
You know, ACH is going to be the guy that I was going to throw out there also. If not ACH, and maybe it's like a Homer thing, because he was a guy that helped train me very early on. And I mean, he was on Impact, but he got used maybe three times. I think Tony Nese is extremely, extremely talented. And I know he's done some Evolve shows and Dragon Gate shows, but, and he was in Impact for like a cup of coffee, but no one ever really talks about Tony Nese. And I think, you know, New York area especially, I think Tony Nese is so, so, so talented. It doesn't nearly get the respect that he deserves and the opportunity that he deserves out there, you know. ACH is so good, too. You know, the moves ACH can pull off and do are just amazing out there. I think ACH is really, really talented. And, you know, I know he had a shout. He had, like, a tryout with Dragon Gate, and I know he does some good stuff beyond. I mean, ACH is really, really good and definitely deserves everything he gets. Silas Young, I mean, this will probably get me heat if the office hears it, because I think he just recently got fired for, like, no showing when I was gone. But Silas Young is another guy who, Silas Young got signed by the WWE years ago and was, like, the victim of the regime change. Like,
right.
He got signed by, I want to say he got signed by Bucci, by, like, Nova, and then Nova got fired, and then, like, the new guy came in and, like, got rid of all the last Nova guys. And, like, I don't think he even got a chance
to fucking
Nova.
Love Nova. For the record, I
love
Nova.
Too.
Mike Bucci, you're
Nova
the best
too.
In the world.
I love Nova, too. You know, I mean, there's many guys out there that aren't really that talented. There really are a lot of guys out there that are talented. And unfortunately, getting noticed is so hard. I think anyone that's looking to get noticed, you got to look at what you really want out of life. Like, look at the situation that's going on with TNA and WWE with the lawsuit, right? Like, you know, there's certain things in life. Like, if you take the wrong opportunity, you can screw yourself out of the thing that might be the right opportunity for you. And that
right.
goes for Japan also, because, you know, in Japan, you know, once you're over there for one company, you're pretty much that company's guy. whether that goes successful or not, or whether, you know, in 3 months you get a better offer, you know, you're that company's got your brand as that person, as being with that company, and it can cheer you up in the future. So I think a lot of people are always in a rush to just take whatever first opportunity comes to them. And I think a lot of times people need to sit back and go, okay, I'm talented. And if I jump at the first opportunity that comes to me, am I screwing myself later on in life? Or 6 months from now, maybe more opportunities might come. But if he is definitely at the top of the list. I mean, he is so good. The movies he does are amazing. I mean, I don't know why he's not on a higher level on the indies right now. I really don't. Maybe it's where he lives. But, I mean, there's really no excuse for him not to be a major player on some of the bigger indie companies.
I just think, honestly, in my opinion, I think it's just, I don't know how long he's been working, but it's like his name is just now starting to get out.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the thing, is like not a lot of people know who he is, but everybody who knows who he is knows who the fuck he is, because ACH is awesome. I think it'll just be, you know, just a matter of time when he kicks off, you know, and I like the dude a lot, and I tell him, I was like, you know, I hope I get to wrestle you again, but I'm pretty sure it'll be signed and I won't get to, so fuck you.
Well, I remember Bullhaw Nation did the Dragon Gate seminar in September of last year, and that night he slept on the floor of my hotel room, and I remember saying to him, I go, this is probably going to be the last time you ever sleep on the floor of a hotel room, and he laughed at me. And, like, now Bullhaw Nation is, like, the hottest thing in the industry. You know, so a lot of times people can happen quickly to people, and when it happens, you're going to be ready for the opportunity. And, you know, Bullhaw's one of those guys that know what the Bullhaw Nation was. Outside of Detroit.
Oh, my God. Nation is another one, dude. He lives right down the road from me, and I've known that dude forever, and he's definitely another one. He's right on that cusp of being a fucking millionaire in this business.
I'm still trying to figure out how Mr. Hughes is trained so many guys that know how to fly when he never lets his feet. I've been trying to figure that out for at least a year and a half.
I don't think
Mr. Hughes ever took a bump, and all of a sudden he's got these guys that do the most amazing shit in the planet. It's like, how is he teaching them this? Like, I want an investigative report done by like some like major news agency to tell me how the hell that's happening.
For people who don't know, I'll give you two names right now. Or actually, I'll give you three. Jonathan Gresham, A.R. Fox, Bullhaw Nation, all trained by Mr. Hughes. All three are completely fucking amazing. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
And there's more. There's more. Like, Fox shows up at every show with an entourage. And this entourage should all do amazing, ridiculous shit. Like, and they're all trained by Mr. Hughes. I cannot for life figure out how. But, like, Mr. Hughes has this, like, little factory where, like, he just produces these high-flying, like, fast-as-hell guys. I don't know how he does it. I've been trying to figure it out for the longest time, and, like, no one's giving me a straight answer. And Fox always...
I don't know. Maybe that's the rub I need, because Mr. Hughes was the second person that ever trained me in the ring. So maybe I need to go back and get that rub again.
You know, like, everyone always talks about, like, Mikey Whipwreck is a top trainer. Mikey was awesome. You know, he had, like, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Trent Beretta. You know, these guys going to, like, the WWE at a certain point. But, like, Mr. Hughes should be right up there for some reason. I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure this out. But, like, Mr. Hughes is, like, has to be, like, the best trainer of all time.
I like the fact that Mr. Hughes still talks like a 30s gangster when he trains you.
That's awesome. I want to go down.
He's like, you gotta back him up to the corner, she, and then you back him up.
Yeah.
She.
You gotta back him up in there, she, daddy. Only you ain't gonna never make no money if you don't back him up in there, she.
Yeah, the guy wore glasses for every match he ever did, and like, his glasses never came off his head, let alone take a bump or even leave his feet for anything. And he's just the most athletic wrestlers on the planet come from either like Dragon Gate in Japan or Mr. Hughes in Georgia. And I, for the life of me, like, I want someone to report on this. I want someone to investigate it. I want to know what the hell is going on in the water.
You know what?
Georgia.
Hey, I'll go ahead and spoil it for you. This is what happened. Mr. Hughes stole the Undertaker's urn, and he melted it down into a necklace, and that's where the talent came from.
You're wrong. That was common with stopping it, melted into a necklace. Hughes just stole the urn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hughes stole the urn. All right, well,
yeah.
shitting on me, Larry.
He obtained some power from it, though, and apparently kept it.
He received the power to train people. I get it. You know, the Undertaker never felt pain, and, like, I watched A.R. Fox matches, like, after I'd seen him, like, the day before, and I watched some matches of his, and I was convinced he was dead. And, like, if I didn't see him the day before, I would have been sure he was dead. So, like,
right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Maybe they got that magical healing power on Earth.
He should be dead. And here's another thing too. I mean, the thing I like really, I mean, because I'm not fucking name dropping, but I know Jonathan Gresham, I know A.R. Fox, and I know Nation, and these guys are cool as shit, you know. And that's the other thing that I think Hughes does a really good job with. He trains them, and he teaches them how to wrestle. He teaches them how to be a good wrestler. But neither one of them, you know, none of the three of those dudes will come up and be like, psh, you don't know me, I'm fucking AR Fox. Dude, they're humble as shit. Nation's one of the coolest dudes I've ever hung out with, man. We drove to freaking Cleveland and back, and me and Nation stayed up the whole way because neither one of us can sleep in a car. And we just talked about how much it sucks to not be able to sleep in a car. So all these dudes are just super down to earth, man.
I'm with you on that. I mean they're just a nice group of guys, and Nation's so humble, and like I remember saying to him, I was like, listen, man, like, you don't know where you're going to hole in the wall, but there's going to be a lot of people kissing your ass real soon, and just please keep your, you know, just keep your mind out of it, and just be aware of people, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be on your bandwagon a lot quicker than you think. And I always laugh on the Twitter, on Twitter, how everyone's like, oh, I want to fight you on Nation. I'm like, of course you do, because you want people to see your matches, asshole. Like, you know, like, I always love that. Like, you know, like, there's like 100 people going, oh, Nation's the truth. It's like, get out the guy's dick for crying out loud. Like, you know, shake his hand before you fucking start stroking his cock.
Yeah. I don't want to wrestle Nation because he'll out-wrestle me. I just want to fight him.
There you go. Yeah. I just want to kick him in his bad name.
Well, you guys,
I want to kick him in his bad name.
We got to take a commercial break. I don't know if Chris Dickinson is still calling in. We've only got a few minutes left, but Larry, you're welcome to stay on if you want to talk some more for, you know, another 10 minutes or so. All right, cool. We're going to take a couple minutes for commercial. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Georgia Wrestling Now.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, the Human Hand Grenade Danny Only, and Dragon Gate USA's Larry Dallas. We got a few minutes left. While we were on commercial, I saw a cut-in for Raw tonight, and apparently there was a fire. The new stage set caught fire tonight as they were setting up for the show, but it looks like it's still...
You're getting heat the wrong way, kid. You're getting heat the wrong way.
Us start an hour earlier.
That's what I usually get. I usually get heat the wrong way, so it's all good. I'm currently driving around trying to find a bar that I can't find. This is my life, folks.
Hey, how about this, brother?
This is multitasking.
Any bar you pull up to, make it your bar.
I'm actually trying to find a bar with a hot blonde, and it's called like Havana something, like Havana Central. And wouldn't you freaking know it? It must be like Little Cuba, because every single place around here has Havana on it. I'm so confused.
Havana something.
You're not in Miami, are you?
I'm in freaking Yonkers. Like, this makes no sense.
I got no sympathy for you, brother. I got nothing for you, folks.
You should have absolute sympathy for me. I am on no sleep for about 3 straight days here.
Hey, one day, I'll tell you what, Larry Dallas, one day me and you sit down, and I'll tell you about how my last trip to the Carolinas went.
Hold on one second. What's up, buddy?
Great. If you're not smoking Sambuca, you're not having a good time, from what I understand.
Okay,
that's how you go in life.
Hold on one second. You're on a radio show right now. You want to say hi? Say hi?
Yeah,
say hi. Stick your head in. Say hello. Come sit down. Hold on. That guy asked me for money. He's at the top of my car. Hold on. Please, sit down. What's your name, sir?
Gabriel,
say hello. You're on the Georgia History Wrestling... Georgia
Wrestling Now.
GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com radio network right now.
Okay, how you doing?
Are you a pro wrestling fan?
Yeah, pro. I like a little wrestling.
You like a little... I just came back from Japan. I actually just drove back to Chicago, and now I'm doing a radio interview.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's pretty fucking awesome. It's cold out here. This is complete shit, folks.
Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Gabriel. I don't know who he is.
But I'm interested. Hey, ask Gabriel if he can...
How you doing?
Can you
ask
me
the question?
Yeah, who's your favorite wrestler, Gabriel?
Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
My favorite wrestler is my man, what's his, with the gray hair.
Ric Flair?
No,
gray hair?
Yeah.
Kevin Nash.
Hulk Hogan.
Sarah. I heard Hulk Hogan, yes. He's my favorite, too.
That's my favorite.
Kill him.
Silver Fox, Hulk Hogan.
Where you heading to tonight?
Well, I'm going home right now.
Do you know where Havana Central is?
No.
you're no help to me. I hope you understand. Yeah, it's like a Cuban bar, I guess. Hot blonde bartender.
Right there in the corner.
Right there in the corner?
Right there.
You are a god in the state.
Havana is right in the corner.
I appreciate that. Live radio, folks. You got to love it, right? You're a superstar right now, man. I'm going to be asking Gabriel for Yonkers. All right? God bless you, man. Good luck with everything.
All right, bro.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Have a good day.
You too.
I don't know why, but I so bad want to go watch American Psycho right now.
Hey, let me tell you something. Yonkers is the hood. It takes balls to let a man from the hood get in your car and open your wallet and give him money. It takes balls.
That's gangster, dog. That's fucking gangster.
It's gangster, dog. I'm a philanthropical freaking douchebag, so that should help my appeal. Let the WWE know. Can we tout that?
Yeah. Hey, I gotta say it, Larry. I'm not sucking your dick over the radio here, but you are probably the most interesting guest we've had on here so far. So you're
you got points,
brother.
Random shit happens to me, man. Fuck make a wish. I just made someone's dream come true by giving them $4. He's gonna get food tonight. So suck my dick, everybody.
Man, he's my Thunderbird, and you know it.
Is it possible that was DMX? Was that DMX? I know he's from Yonkers, and he's following.
Hey, I met DMX at a strip club here in Atlanta.
I got the hell out of there.
Too.
Suck my dick.
DMF used to live like about two towns over from me.
Real quick, before we got to wrap up, I know we got like, oh shit, we still got like five more minutes left. Hey, Larry, what's your schedule looking? When's the next time you're going to be in the Southeast, if that's possible?
Talk to Caleb Conley. Let me know when he gets me booked.
Caleb Conley drew on my Pittsburgh Steelers hat.
Did he?
So Caleb Conley can kiss my ass.
He's kind of a douchebag like that, isn't he?
Yeah,
Larry,
nah,
you,
I'm joking.
It was really funny,
but... Larry, have you worked in the Southeast or in Georgia before?
I mean, only when Dragon Gate USA went down there for WrestleMania weekend. We did, like, North Carolina and two shows in Georgia. I've done Florida a bunch of times, but, like, never like the... I mean, I want to go back to North Carolina and Georgia. I love it down there, but it just hasn't really happened on a regular basis for me. I'm also pretty
That's when Matt Felt broke his leg.
No, that was the year before.
That was Miami. Yeah.
I'm pretty lazy with bookings, though. Like, I don't know. I'm motivated but not motivated at the same time. Yeah, this is like a really, really good opportunity. I don't want to leave my house.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You talk to Caleb Conley and ask him, hey, what's the deal? Is Danny only a dude you want to hang out with? Get your fucking opinion from him, and when I come back from my little sabbatical, we'll fucking go out, we'll get back some drinks, and we'll hang out.
I appreciate it, man. Well, good luck to you guys. Thank you for having me on. I'm going to go into this bar right now, trying to cause my own little scene. Little welcome home.
Get
right,
it
in.
I'm glad you found what you're looking for.
Have a great day. I'm going to go on this way. Maybe I'll find someone new. Well, hopefully she's not listening. So you guys have a great night, man. Thank you for having me on. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right,
thank you, man. Take care.
Have a good one, guys.
What happened to Chris Dickinson, Danny?
Man, all right, here's the deal, okay? You think I'm a loose cannon, all right? You think I'm out of control? Let me tell you something. Chris Dickinson is fucking crazy, dude. The dude is nuts, all right? I talked to him. He said he was down. He was like, cool, I'll call in. I'm going to call in because I want to kill everyone. All right. Here's the deal. Okay, a couple weeks ago, AIW did a show in Cleveland, and at the end of the show, Chris Dickinson and his cohorts, they took the fucking show over, and they damn near killed somebody. That's why I really wanted him to call in, because me and Dickinson, we're cool as shit, because I tried to stab Eric Corvus in the neck, and this dude tried to kill a whole company. But he's just not—he's not right in the head, man. We call him Dirty Dick. You know, all the people just walk around. We love Dick, and it sounds gay, but it's not, because fucking Dickinson is sick. The dude is—he's loose, bro. He's not right. He's not there in the head. All right. You ever watch Braveheart?
Yep.
You know when the dude said, "I never trusted him." He wasn't quite right in the head. That's fucking Dickinson, bro. The guy's not—he's pumping on all six cylinders. You know, there's a screw loose, there's a fuse blown, there's a fucking wire shorted out. Dickinson is out of control, man. So, I don't know, maybe he's eating something that used to be alive probably 5 minutes ago. I don't know. But he's nuts, bro. So, what's next week? Who we got next week?
I don't have anything scheduled as of yet, so if you want to try to get him to call again... That's fine with me.
Chris Dickinson at 7:10 tomorrow, because I'll call him and tell him that if he doesn't call in at 7:10, that I'll come to his house and burn it to the ground.
All right, sounds good.
So next
well,
week,
we've got about
Georgia
a minute left.
Now.
What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying we've got about a minute left, so what time is it, Matt?
It must be time for a very foggy fun fact with Danny Ellenwood.
Today's fun fact with Danny Only is brought to you by the penis. The world's longest distance for a jet of semen. For those who don't know what that means, that is the longest cum shot ever, was 18 feet 9 inches by Horst Schultz with a quote-unquote substantial amount of seminal fluid. So, ladies and gentlemen listening at home, Horst Schultz shot a load 18 feet. If you want to try to beat that record, here's how you do it. You get yourself a first aid kit, you get those little ammonia inhalers, and right before you blow, you take a big whiff of the ammonia inhaler. You'll throw one at least 6 feet across the room. Trust me, I've done it myself. Fun fact.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week at 7 p.m., and hopefully Chris Dickinson will call in, and we'll probably have somebody else interesting as well. But thanks for listening, George.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Georgia Wrestling Now.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.